popping up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello there, and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, preseason game number one in the books. The Browns traveled to Green Bay, came up on the short end of the stick, 17-11 in a strange one, Matt Wilhelm. Three safeties in the game.
So I have to say that I did pregame radio at 92.3 The Fan, you know, the Halley building, and then I was luckily invited to come to an Indians game, which they won against the Angels in a blowout. But I was tuned in to the game, the Browns game, the entire time in a suite. And what was ironically funny at one point, the baseball game was 3-2. The Browns game was 3-2. The Browns game was 5-3. The baseball game was 5-3. And I thought it was the funniest thing until the Indians then ran off, and of course the Packers scored. And the game just kind of, you know, went off into a non-baseball score.
It certainly did, and get there 17-11 again. When you see a team score 4 points, when have you ever seen a team score 4 points in a quarter?
Never.
The Packers scored 4 points in the fourth quarter.
Never.
Unbelievable. So before we get into that game, and we will, we want your thoughts on this game as well. 216-578-0850. Who stood out? Who needs to step up? Also, the big news here in Berea today, Josh Gordon activated. He returns to practice today. Now, of course, he's not eligible to play for the Browns until week five, as he will be suspended for the first four games of the season in the return of Tom Brady, the return of Josh Gordon, game five here at First Energy Stadium against the Patriots. But I'm excited to see him at practice. I think Corey Coleman's expected back soon. Andrew Hawkins expected back soon. So those three, along with Terrell Pryor, are certainly looking like your top receivers for the year, and this will be the first time that you have the opportunity to maybe get them all on the field together.
Do you think, Hugh, just because it's the last practice open to the public and the media availability is, of course, they're going to be out there in force today with Josh Gordon back, especially after the Green Bay scrimmage, that he's going to, the first play, that he's going to come out 11 personnel in what we think is going to be what this offense looks like?
No. Josh Gordon is going to have to earn his reps. I don't think he's going to hand it back to him.
That's why I asked.
I don't think he's going to hand it back to Josh Gordon, but I'll tell you what, I can't wait to see him out there. For those of you, you know, just joining us and just, you know, kind of getting caught up on that game, start off with the RG3 first play, kind of what you're talking about, aggressive bomb, 49 yards to Terrell Pryor. Now, they couldn't get it into the end zone. Griffin was ended up being intercepted down at the one-yard line on a pass intended for Gary Barnage, which when I watched it back, I think Barnage could have done a little bit more on the route, but I think really the issue that Hugh Jackson had with that particular play is, hey, you make a big play, we're down there in a good position, let's live to play another day. You don't necessarily have to throw something into a window that is just that tight,
right,
to try to force something that early in the game. We're down there, we're ready to score, so let's go ahead and look at it. And I think maybe it was 2nd and 12 after that first play was kind of that aborted handoff to Crow, and he was trying to get in there, but turned into a safety, so not so bad. But
right,
nonetheless, I think that's what Hugh Jackson's point is. I had no problem with, you know, the throw, but let's just make a better read next time and perhaps live to fight another day.
But while so many people are going to look at that and think something negative, because that's the narrative when it comes to the Cleveland Browns and RG3 based on his past, I look at it as a positive, because the hookup between RG3 and Gary Barnage is going to be, you know, frequent throughout the regular season. And I think to allow them to have such a vivid coaching point, it's RG3 is learning from Hugh on what to do and what to do and what not to do. And I think in Barnage's case, and in RG3's case, it's like, where does Barnage like the football when he runs a certain route versus certain coverage? Because if you think we're not going to see that same coverage again, and Barnage is not going to run that same route again, it was essentially the out and up that he ran a ton last year, minus the deliberate outcut. He kind of just stemmed wide and didn't quite bend it back in behind the backer. And I thought, as you pointed out, had he continued to bend and get flat at the top of his route in front of the safety and almost box out that safety, it very well could have been a catch, hit in the back, and Gary could have rolled into the end zone for a touchdown. He just stayed a little bit more vertical, which is what allowed Micah Hyde to step right up in front of it and essentially cut him off and box him out from a, I don't want to say poorly thrown football, but an inside thrown football.
Yeah, and, you know, again, that's something they with Gary Barnes getting kind of limited reps as he's come back from his hernia surgery there, maybe not on the same page, and a good learning experience, as you said. I'll tell you what I took away from this game is that overall, you know, we're all excited about the Hugh World Order. We're all excited about Hugh Jackson, the impact on the team, but it's not going to happen in one day.
No.
This looked like the first preseason game. There was some good. There was some bad. I thought that the best part of the game and the things that I took away from it were that Emmanuel Agba looks like an absolute monster. He was all over the field. Carl Nassib looked good. I thought, in fact, a lot of the young guys, Joe Schobert, I thought had a good game. Dominique Alexander and Scooby Wright at inside linebacker. The young guys on defense, I thought all really looked good. And then for Cody Kessler, we're going to start with the good, which was his first pass, a 10-yard perfectly thrown back shoulder to Hollywood Higgins, who made the play and got the touchdown there. And then the bad, you know, the safety. Although I will say being at that field, those lines were confusing.
And what were they for? Soccer?
I have no idea. No, it's basically like, so if we're looking in the dog bowl right outside of the
stadium.
In. So it wasn't
fill in
filled
the border.
In.
Got it.
So you had the thin line for the back of the
Correct.
End zone and then the thin line that was the end of the border, but it wasn't filled in.
Right.
So when he looked down, I actually was walking up the plane with him. When he looked down, his eyes just saw the other one. So when he was rolling, he said, I've never played on a field where it wasn't filled in, which may or may not. I have
sure.
no idea how it is in college, but I know at First Energy and everywhere else I can think of that I see, it is a solid color.
Correct.
And so he was a little confused on that. And he goes, man, he's like, I'm going to be on SportsCenter, first pass touchdown, second pass safety. I don't think that's ever happened before. He's like,
no.
You know, it was a good best of times, worst of times. And then the other thing that stood out in terms of just concern, and this I think happens every year with the Browns, the depth on the offensive line when you got down to the guys that were out there with Cody Kessler, frightening.
Yes.
Frightening.
It was scary bad.
Yeah. There was one where literally a guy, I think, went from, we'll call it, who goes against the left tackle? The right end goes against the left
Correct.
Tackle. The right end basically just
unblocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, well,
and there was an attempt at a block, which made it worse. Like,
right.
If he just wasn't
if you're
there.
Sashi Brown, though, the first wave of cuts are going to be very easy.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
In most cases, they are.
They are.
As you and I could go through and essentially probably get 14 out of 15 going from 90 to 75 very easily.
Sure.
And I think it's because of those guys. And in some cases, you hate to say it, they have every opportunity to grasp this offense or defense. They have every opportunity to go out and practice it and perfect it and then perform it in these games. But at some point in time, and that's what Michael Rega and I talked about, I think on Thursday with, you know, with you out and traveling to Green Bay was, it's by Atlanta, after this football game, 75 or 90 to 75 is going to be so easy because those guys don't have it. They're going to be a lifelong, you know, I'm going to say, or career long, which is going to last no more than a couple of years, guy that bounces from opportunity to opportunity to opportunity to opportunity and just realize that eventually the NFL is just not for me. And there's nothing wrong with it because it's not for everyone.
Sure. It isn't for everyone. I was a little surprised. The rookies got in there early on defense, made a big impact, but the rookies on offense had to wait their turn to get an opportunity. Hollywood Higgins not getting in until late in the game after the tough, tough break suffered by Ronnell Hall, literally fracturing his leg. And that was a real bummer for me. And he's going to end up, I think he was waived injured, so he'll probably clear waivers and then here end up on the IR with the Browns as they'll retain his rights. But that was a tough break. But then Hollywood comes in. Ricardo Lewis came in after that, and Jordan Payton only got in the game at the very end because of the injury to Marlon Moore. Now, if that trend continues into game two, I think that becomes eye-opening, but I wonder if they're just trying to give the vets a shot early.
I bet you they are, and I think it's knowing Hugh and understanding, you know, who Al Saunders is in his tenure in the National Football League, I would not be surprised that if in their gut they know this, what the mantra and the mindset is of building, of literally quote unquote building the Cleveland Browns from this year and beyond, that if it's going to be centered around the core of young players that develop in a Browns uniform over the next 4 years, so they're going to give those veterans a shot to go out and essentially shine in these settings that allow them to maybe outshine some of the young players.
Well,
to the point you put a little bit of doubt in their head.
Well, yeah, and also it gives them an opportunity to go and find another home if you're trying to get them the opportunity to put some good tape
some
out
good
there.
Film, yeah.
Absolutely. So another Cody Kessler story I want to share. So on the touchdown pass, as Hollywood came out, I was like, let's go, Hollywood, because I was right there on the sideline because I love Hollywood. And so he gives me like a little look. So Kessler told him, if that guy comes out and presses you,
right,
I'm throwing you the back shoulder. So he tells him that in the huddle, which is great. I love that the rookies are already thinking that far ahead. Goes out. Sure enough, the guy was in press. Perfect back shoulder, perfect route, perfect catch, touchdown. And it was just cool to see two young guys who have gotten to work together a lot in practice come out there and be able to put that together for the touchdown there. I thought that was some of the good in the game. And again, obviously you wanted to see the Browns take care of the football better than they did. I thought that, you know, Hugh Jackson's sloppiness in terms of RG3 hadn't turned it over once in training camp, does it on his first series in the preseason. But I thought his third down pass to Terrell Pryor showed poise in the pocket, went through his progressions, took some hits, which was good to see.
Yes, and him, good for him, I think.
I think so, too. You got to get hit at some point. And Raheem Mostert's fumble on the punt, you know, that stuff's got to get cleaned up.
But he's a kick returner.
And it's different.
It is different.
Corey Coleman's expected to be the punt returner. Correct. I thought that when they jumped the running into the kicker from Joe Schobert on the that extended that drive. Like, those are the things that this Browns team, if they're going to win football games, they can't have.
Well, those are the Browns things of last year's Browns teams.
Yep.
And you can't have it. You can lose a football game because of it.
And I think in many ways they did. They get the safety, and instead of getting the safety, getting the ball back with good field position, coming down and putting more points on the board, they muff that punt, and that turns into 3 points for Green Bay. And all of a sudden you're behind when at worst at the end of that possession, you should be up 2-0 and maybe 5, maybe 9, maybe you go for 2, maybe 10. I don't know. But I there was some sloppy. But I really thought the young defenders really stood out to me. And I will say the first team run defense, it was only one series. But it looked a little too easy, and it just makes you wonder. John Hughes still tending to the personal issue. He's expected to start for you with that 3 technique, so he hasn't been there. Desmond Bryant was expected to start for you with that 5 technique. He hasn't been here. Obviously, he's out for the season with the injury. So you got to wonder, where are they going to get the beef up front? Now, Hughes will be back, but it sometimes it looks like it's going to be tough for the beef to be there in that 3-4, and it's going to really be incumbent on those first three guys, whoever they are, to really try to eat up space and allow your linebackers to make plays.
No doubt. And that's something that, you know, I really want to go back and watch just because I enjoyed my Saturday and Sunday, you know, getting ready for another busy week. But I want to watch Danny Shelton again because Danny Shelton's got to be the catalyst and the pinnacle of what makes this run defense great. And I think too many times I saw Danny Shelton a little too high, which is a characteristic we saw of him last year that he was trying to work on for this year. Also, saw him running too lateral. Not penetrating, not eating up two blockers, but he was getting like mashed and like run, I guess, in that Green Bay zone scheme. He was getting run by the play, creating running lanes for Eddie Lacy and James Starks.
Yeah, and you want to see those guys step up. And again, when you're a linebacker, as you know, if you're getting linemen on linebackers, lineman's going to win that the majority of the time.
330 versus 230, who's going to win that?
Simple math, folks.
Thank you.
So you want to see that get cleaned up a little bit. And again, I like that there are things to work on, but again, I like the positives. And to me, the real positives were the young guys on defense that were drafted to be impact players looked like impact players, and talking about Agba and Nassib. I also thought that you saw some younger guys step up. I thought Tracy Howard continued to play well as an undrafted free agent from the U at corner. I thought Dominique Alexander, your guy, continued.
He's a
good athlete. He looks very, very good. And we talked about special teams. And if you watch special teams, while there were the gaffes, there were also some standout plays. Ricardo Lewis made a big-time tackle. And then Tracy Howard certainly helped his cause getting down.
Kindred played well as well.
Stopping. And Kindred's a beast on special teams. But for a guy like Tracy Howard, undrafted, competing to make this roster, to play well at cornerback when he was challenged twice, he was able to get a PBU. And then to go down as a gunner, beat the guy to the outside, get all the way down to the one, catch the ball, tip it to your teammate, and down them inside the one was big, I thought.
It goes a long way. It's big, and I think it shows Chris Tabor, special teams coach, as well as Hugh Jackson, that they have, first of all, they've grasped the technique that they're asking them to use. Secondly, where a lot of young players actually are faulty is they're still playing by college rules on what they can do and what they can't. So to have that kind of built in, to be able to make that play, to make sure that your feet are actually in the field of play, you can hover over that line, you can jump over that line and tap the football back and have the body control to do so. That is something that obviously got a huge plus. Andy Lee's happy, Chris Tabor's happy, everyone's happy in regards to that type of play.
Absolutely. And Terrell Pryor, that was one of the things we wanted to watch. We'll touch on that. We're going to hear from him later in the show. We'll hear from Hugh Jackson after our first break. But for Terrell Pryor to come out, beat press, get down the field, make that catch, something we've seen him do in practice.
I could have called it.
It was great to see.
Did.
And he tracked that ball very well.
He did
a nice diving catch. And
slowed
I thought,
down a little bit, came in a little bit.
Well done.
Yeah.
Now, I know he's got this issue with his left hand that is apparently bothering him a little bit yesterday. The x-rays are negative on that, so he's clean there. But I want to see him continue to build on this. I think he's looking like a guy that is going to be much more than even the most lofty expectations for him this season probably would have predicted at the beginning of OTAs, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's a testament, as you and I said, you know, in interviewing him at the Orange and Brown scrimmage, to him, because he could have settled for having a 3 to 4 year career in the NFL and just know that it's not for him. And he could have fought, but he just stayed working on his craft with his head down, being open to the coaching from Al Saunders and Hugh Jackson, Pep Hamilton, to allow him the opportunity. I think him staying healthy, as I've pointed out time and time again, because it's a lot of the reason why, yeah, he wasn't quite where he was at last year. Of course, he's a year more mature, but being healthy, being available, and to go out there each and every day to work and compete, that's what allows him to have the swagger of a wide receiver. Hugh sees that, RG3 sees that, and that's why they feed him the football when they have an opportunity to.
Absolutely. One other guy I think we would be remiss if we didn't point out. I thought Raheem Mostert showed a little bit of flash and a little sizzle.
Oh, yeah.
He had one good kick return, and also the one good – or was a punt, it may have been a punt return where he got to the corner and then got pushed out of bounds. And then he also showed on that run, 27-yarder, which we've seen in practice, him breaking off long runs. He's got some serious wiggle to him. The other guy, Jamie Meter, continues to be maybe the most disruptive player on our defensive line. And at some point you wonder, is he going to get an opportunity with the ones, whether it be in the nose or at the three technique?
I agree. And who knows, with Dez Bryant still out and John Hughes still out, we've got to have contingency plans for the uncertain.
Do you think it could help Danny to be at a three technique and put Meter at the nose, or keep Danny at the nose? Can you put Meter at a three technique?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, because essentially a three technique is doing the same thing as a nose, just first two different players. You have to look for a different type of blocking scheme. So it would just be taking the reps there and getting the look there more often to be able to take the proper steps and put the hands in the proper places.
So it'll be interesting to see, because I think the D-line and the O-line still remain somewhat concerns. I thought Cam Irving looked a little rusty in his return back, and there were certainly, if not he was beat, there were miscommunications between he and just the overall protection in general on a couple of those where RG3 took pretty big hits. What did Hugh Jackson think of the preseason opener? We will hear from him when we return. We also want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. And we got to see what we want to hear what you think of the Dog Pound. We want to hear what Hugh Jackson thinks. Still to come on this show, we're going to have a lot for you. Terrell Pryor from yesterday's practice at 1:30. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns at 2. Eric Patterson, who had the interception, the Browns' lone turnover on defense. He joined me in the Dog Bowl 2:15. And then we've got RG3 at 2:30. So a lot to get through. We'll take your calls throughout, though. 216-578-0850. You guys are hitting us up on Twitter, so keep that going as Cleveland Browns Daily rolls on here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Elk and Elk, serious lawyers for serious injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Let's go back to the podium now and hear from the Browns head coach Hugh Jackson after the preseason opener.
Hey, Hugh, where was Joe Thomas?
Well, Joe Thomas is inside. Just had a little flare-up of his back. He'll be fine. Is that it? Okay. He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
That's just
what
he's gonna have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, we're all sore. I'm sore. Everybody's a little sore right now. He'll be all right.
You're aware of Joe Thomas's consecutive play streak, I assume, right?
I'm sorry.
You're aware of Joe Thomas's consecutive. He's never missed a snap.
He's not going to. He's not going to. I mean, things happen sometimes, and again, as I said, I'm always going to be protecting of our guys, and he'll be fine. I'm not worried about Joe.
Hugh, it's going into the third week now with Gordon.
Getting close. Very close. Hope to see him soon, and I think we will.
Are you worried at all getting him in condition, playing condition, in the short time that he'll be practicing for you?
No, I don't think it will be about conditioning. I just think, you know, there's been a process that we put in place to get him to where he needs to be overall, not just the conditioning, not just this or that. I think it's encompassing everything to make sure that when he is out here, he's out here for the time he's here. And obviously we know he won't be around for the first 4 weeks, and then making sure that after that time, he'll be where he needs to be when he's able to get back.
Any chance he would play Thursday, or is that to be determined?
That's to be determined.
Well, Dad, it's okay.
was getting him and Corey Coleman out there for the walkthrough like a precursor to them practicing tomorrow? Or?
Well, I'm going to talk to our doctors when we're done. But I think they're closer to being out there than they are further away. So I think, you know, they've been, obviously Josh has been out for quite a while. Corey's been out for quite a while. And I think those guys are closer to being back out with their teammates. That's okay.
Has the quad injury prevented Gordon from going cardiovascular?
No. I think that's what I'm saying. I think our process has gotten him to where he needs to be. Like I said, I think he's very close to being out there with his teammates.
And the weight, is that going to come off once he practices?
I think some has come off already. Yeah. I can't give you the number, but it's come off. I mean, he's working hard. I mean, again, he's just a big man. You know, he's a big man, and we'll get him to where he needs to be. I feel good about that.
It took a little while to get some of the rookie receivers out there the other night. Do they still have some work to do to maybe increase their snaps a little?
Obviously, I think I need to do a better job of making sure they're out there a little sooner, you know. But again, the game kind of dictated otherwise. We didn't have a lot of plays in the first half and didn't have really truly a lot in the second half. So, but we hope to have more snaps so those guys can go out there and compete a little more.
Do you feel like you might have to sign another quarterback, just have another camp arm to get you through to the end of the season? Are you fine the way you
I think we're okay. I don't think that's needed at this point.
Hey, Emmanuel Agba said he was one of the guys that impressed you. What did he do that impressed you? And you talk a little bit about the versatility. He looked like he played inside and outside on the fourth man line.
Right. I think he played hard. You know, I think our young players, him and Carl and Nassib both, played extremely hard. I think they got after it. You know, the way you like to see young guys perform in the first preseason game. The fun part watching him is he got tired one time. I could tell he was very tired. And next thing, he's chasing the quarterback towards the sideline and getting him down. That's impressive to me. I think that's the way you have to play. That's going to be Cleveland Brown football here in the near future. We all have to play that way. It's going to be rough, tough, tired, hot, whatever all that is. You got to find a way to go make a play, and that's what he did.
How much do you think the position switch slowed him down, if at all?
Oh, I don't think that slowed him down. No, I don't. I think he's done a good job because I think, you know, like you said, he's been playing both. So I think it's really helped him more than anything. Kevin, I mean, those guys played a lot of snaps the other night, those young guys, which is good.
Kevon Williams was excused from the game and he's not out here today.
Mm-hmm. Personal matter, leave it at that.
Same with Hughes.
Personal matter, leave it at that.
How did Mingo fare at inside linebacker?
I think he did okay. I think he did some good things, but again, he's got to keep improving. You know, I think it's a little different for him. He's done it some, but I think it's a little different. You know, the game's a little different in there than being on the edge and just rushing. But he's got to keep improving. We all have to keep improving. Our team has to keep improving. That's what we're here for.
Can that be a permanent switch?
I mean, again, we're just mixing and matching, as you guys know, trying to find the best spots for all of our guys so they can contribute to our team.
We don't get to watch most of your walkthroughs generally. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, you know, Josh had the helmet on today and was kind of running up there a little bit, is that something that has been going on, or was that a new thing?
No, that has been going on. He's been out there. So that's wasn't new. I mean, he's been doing more things, more and more and more each week. So, as I said, I think he's getting close. So we'll put him out there when he's ready.
Is the plan to have Hayden play in this game?
No, that is not my plan right now. Yeah, I think, you know, again, I just want to, again, I'm going to go real slow with him and just make sure he's ready. But hopefully at some time we'll play him, hopefully before, you know, we get to regular season. But so we got three more left, and so we'll find one that I think suitable along with our medical staff that we think is best for him.
Do you manage this game against Atlanta knowing you're going to Tampa Bay for a week and practicing against them? I mean,
yeah.
Does that affect play time?
No, it won't. You know, I think we need to play. I mean, I think it's obvious last week we need to continue to get better. So we're going to play so that we can accomplish the things that we set out to accomplish as a football team this week, and then we'll get to Tampa Bay after that week.
Good. Do you, looking ahead a little bit to Tampa Bay and those practices, do you feel super solid about doing that, even though you've got a number of guys that are kind of banged up a little bit?
Everybody has a number of guys that are banged up. You know, it's just, that's training camp. You know, it's just the way it goes. And we talked about it as a team today. You know, no one's going to feel sorry for us because we got a few guys down. That's the National Football League this time of year. You get those things, you hate it. But we need to fight through it because it could be the way the season goes. You know, we have to prepare for all of that. So, you know, we're going to do what we do this week. We're going to get ready. And then after that, we'll get ready for Tampa Bay.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson after practice last night getting ready for this week. The Browns will practice today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and then they will host the Atlanta Falcons in the second preseason game Thursday night at First Energy Stadium. Obviously, he knows there are things to clean up. Josh Gordon will be back today. We know that. That's good. Not sure on Corey Coleman. Andrew Hawkins saying he's still a little bit a ways away. So you get these guys out there. That's exciting to see. That's good to get Josh Gordon out. But, again, I think for Hugh Jackson, he loves the opportunity to coach. He loves the staff, loves the opportunity to coach, and that's what the game against Green Bay provided.
Absolutely. And I'll ask you this question back to you after Hugh's, you know, presser there. With Josh Gordon coming back and knowing that Josh Gordon, what Josh Gordon is capable of, we also heard him say he'd like to get those young players out there earlier. So it's kind of like a dual-edged sword. Are we going to play Josh Gordon back into shape so that he can understand like what football shape is again by the Chicago Bears game, which we'll probably see a lot of him in, and then he goes away for 4 weeks?
Yep.
We still need to rely on those young receivers developing the way that Hugh and Al Saunders deserve, and they think, you know, they need to be by the time the season rolls around.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, everything that this team is doing should be about peaking September 11th against Philadelphia. So whatever is the right path of that, I believe that's the one that Hugh Jackson's going to take. I do think we need to see Josh Gordon out there and get some opportunity to get chemistry with Robert Griffin III, because when he comes back in week five, he is going to play. But you've got to get these rookies ready. I mean, you imagine right now Coleman and Pryor and Hawkins will probably be your top three receivers, but you're going to get some Hollywood Higgins in there, I have a feeling.
Sure. So you have Andrew Hawkins making the team?
I do.
Okay.
Especially with the injury to Ronnell Hall.
Okay.
I think you need that one veteran guy, and he has a unique skill set as that shifty slot guy that I know Hugh Jackson likes.
And I think he's the Josh McCown of the wide receiver room, is he not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think he's a good voice. And the other thing is, too, from just a financial standpoint, you know, he's making $1 million.
Right.
And that's it. So, you know, he's down there below he's below, you know, Raheem Moore and Austin Davis and Don Jones, guys like that. So I think that he's going to make this team for a lot of reasons.
Sure.
But the way that his contract was structured certainly is one of them. But also because he is a good guy, he can help those younger guys in the room be like almost a coach on the field, and does have a unique skill set all of a sudden in that room, as opposed to where it seemed like everybody had the same skill set not too long ago.
Right, he does. And I think you look at what Josh Gordon, what an asset Josh Gordon can be for a guy like Corey Coleman on how to win and really ball as an outside receiver. And then you look, can Corey Coleman also learn from Andrew Hawkins on how to win in the slot, which is where Andrew Hawkins should have played pretty much his entire Browns career. But because of lack of depth and injuries, you know, in 14, he was outside. 15, we thought he'd get back inside, but still lack of depth. So he played all over the place.
Yeah, and we'll see how it ends up going for him, for these wide receivers. You know, Ronnell Hall was a guy that I think was in serious competition to make the team, and now you can cross his name off of the list. So it becomes a little bit more interesting in that room, especially with Gordon out, obviously, we know, for the first four games. When we come back, one guy who has made the most of every opportunity that he's had in that wide receiver room, Terrell Pryor, he spoke with the media. We will see what he had to say when we come back. Plus, we'll take your calls, 216-578-0850. What did you see from the Browns in preseason game one that makes you nervous or that gets you fired up for this season? Let us know.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. The first play of the game, a 49-yard bomb from RG3 to Terrell Pryor in the preseason opener against Green Bay. Pryor has made huge strides. He's a lock to make this team, and I think looks like he will be an impact player on offense for the Browns. Here's what he had to say after yesterday's practice.
Terrell, first of all, you know, we saw you kind of have a little discomfort in the hand again today. Tell us what's going on there a little bit.
I don't even know how it happened or one part in the game, but it's just a little sore, you know, just like everybody else. You know, guys, hamstrings are sore, you know, whatever it may be. So I just got to get through it, and, you know, I catch a lot of balls off the jugs. You know, it's sometimes, I guess, you know, muscles, tendons, whatever could get sore. So I just got to get through it, keep doing my treatment the right way, and should be fine.
Was it just a lingering thing that you felt out there today, or did you do something else?
It got a lot better from Friday. Well, when we play Friday? Yeah, from Friday, it got a lot better. These 2 days, it was like almost felt it a little bit, but not as much. And then I got hit on the last play, so then it kind of came back. So everything checked out in terms of the X-ray and the MRI. So I guess it's just some contusion or something like that.
Did you have to wrap or tape it or anything?
Yeah, I have to wrap it.
So you did have the MRI, too, to show no ligament?
Yeah. Well, the doctors felt around it, and there's every single ligament that they felt, they usually could tell. The guys that we had, I mean, they're pretty sharp. So it definitely isn't that. It doesn't hurt in any areas like that. So I don't know.
So you did have an MRI or you didn't?
No, I didn't.
You did not?
I didn't.
Okay.
Why did you add senior to your jersey this year?
It's my name.
My name. A junior?
Yeah. My son's a second.
But you didn't do it last year?
Kind of in a rush, you know. That's a lot of demands, you know, to ask, you know. Like, who this guy? I'm wearing 87, you know, or, you know, I'm wearing 92 at receiver, you know. I'm trying to, you know, I just, you know, comfortable with this coaching staff. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you want to show them that you're bust your butt and you're a team player, you know, before you start trying to ask, you know, questions and stuff like that. So, I don't know.
I mean, is it to honor your son?
Absolutely. It's for all that. You know, that's my name. Senior. I'm a senior. My son's a junior. So.
Looking back, sorry, the two catches. I mean, the first one was a nice little graded separation there at the end of the route. And then the second one was for the first down. Could you just talk a little bit about those? Show how far you come.
I don't even look at it as that. You know, I just look at it as, you know, I'm just competing every day. You know, it's just like being out here. I don't let the game. Like, when I stepped on the field, it wasn't bigger in practice. It wasn't bigger than going against, you know, it's just another guy, you know, that I have to defeat. And, you know, that's a lot of times, you know, when you do great things in practice, like Coach said, it's either you're going to do real well or you're not going to do real well. So it's good that, you know, we can stay on that path and just continue doing it, you know, going to Atlanta and then so on and so forth. But like I said before on Friday, you know, it's all about making plays. And that play's passed me. I really don't care anymore. You know, I'm ready to make the next play and get a loud cheer from the crowd.
Have you been getting any feedback from people around the league or, you know, Randy Moss, anybody like that, reaching out about Friday's game?
Like I said, he may text me, great job, but I mean, it's kind of those things where nobody's looking at tomorrow, yesterday, you know. It's what are you going to do? And it's an ongoing thing, and, you know, it's always trying to make that next play, you know. I can't really live in the past like that, because how am I going to get better, you know? It was a decent play. I'm more upset of the way I played, you know, on the other plays. I didn't play too well, and I just want to try to be better for my team, for the teammates that I have. You know, I got to play better, and I really don't really – those plays I can make, you know, any day. I just want to do my 111th, and I need to do better on the other plays that I messed up.
So is that, like, what you're talking about, is that doing stuff when you're not getting the ball? Is that blocking?
It's little stuff like that, blocking, you know, blocking the right person, you know, just always being on, you know. And it's not just me. It's, you know, it's everybody, you know. But we all have to, you know, every single day, you know, just try to accomplish and be the best we can be every single play. You know, it has to matter. So, you know, I just got to be better at some of those things. And it's our first game, so I'm glad I made some mistakes that I could clear up for the next one, just like any other person. And I'm looking forward to doing better on Thursday.
Terrell, in your interactions with Josh Gordon, what do you think his mindset is now, 2 weeks into the structure of this team? Is he close to being out there physically and mentally? Can you tell?
I think so. This guy, he's, like I said before, he's in tune, you know, and he's doing an awesome job. Just from what I see, you know, the guy, he's busting his butt on in cardio, you know, trying to do whatever, lose weight or whatever he's trying to do. Focused in the meetings, you know, always asking questions, and you know, he's great. He's been a great teammate, and definitely happy to have him.
Enjoy the fact, though, that, I mean, I know you say it's in the past, but it was better and move to create that separation on that deep pass. I mean, do you enjoy the fact that you're at that point where it just comes to you?
I don't think, you know, like I said, like, I see where you're coming from, but it's like, I really don't think of it no more, you know, because it's like, I'm really looking forward to the next play. You know, we got Marcus Trufant coming in. We got Trufant coming in. We got some other DBs coming in. You know, that's a great defense from the Falcons. It's what am I going to do against them? You know, because nobody's going to think about, you know, a week ago. You know, so I just want to make another play, and maybe a different way, or make it the same way. I just want to make another play. And this, what's been the past is in the past, and let's go make another one.
Jarrell, how did RG play in that game?
I thought he did awesome. I loved, like I said, I loved how he took a couple hits, took a couple big hits, you know, and he still delivered the ball. I think that's very important, you know, as a quarterback. And the rest is for the coaches really to decide. But from my standpoint, as a leader, the guy, that was awesome to me, you know, for him to take a hit like that. Two blows, the one on the third down was huge, you know. It was the first one. He got up, and you could tell he was in pain, but he jumped up, sucked it up, and he knew people were watching, and he didn't want to look like he was injured, hurt. And that's a leader, you know, and I thought that was awesome.
Did you check with him after that to make sure he was fine? Because I didn't see
the hit. You know, I was wondering because the ball was kind of like inside, and I'm sure if he was, you know, if he didn't get hit, it would have been I would have got on a run. But it's an awesome ball. It's an awesome ball, and the way he got hit and jumped up like that, I mean, that's some it's Browns quarterback. You know, he's getting up. He's playing Browns football, and that's what we want to do. We want to be physical. And if we get hit, we want to get up and go to the next play. And that was awesome.
Do you think over the course of a full game at wide receiver, you'll take more hits than at quarterback
Absolutely.
Or less?
I don't know. Depends. We have a good line. You know, I didn't have Joe Thomas when I was playing quarterback. So, you know, I'm sure a receiver, you know, because it depends on how many times you're getting targeted. And then, you know, if you're catching the ball over the middle or if you're trying to make people miss, you're going to take some hits. Sometimes you're going to catch a ball and get down. If you don't see it really going anywhere else, you know, unless it's third down and five or six, you got to go get it. But I don't know. You might have to take that stat on that.
I'll get somebody.
I mean, I got sacked 10 times in Kansas City, so.
You get 10 balls, you're going to get hit 10 times.
Exactly. So you may be right. I don't know.
Jarrell, are you fueled at all by the fact that, you know, nobody really believed that you could do this? You got cut. You sat out of football until December. Mm-hmm. 31 other teams didn't even give you this opportunity. Mm-hmm. Does that still drive you and fuel you?
Nah. What really drives me is you know, the process of, you know, trying to do my part as a team member, you know, or as a teammate. And also just every single day you're trying to find that itch of competing, you know, like that itch to me is like, it's like ongoing. It's like you having a cast on. It's like ongoing. I'm like in search of it. You know, I love that feeling of competing, and you know, that's what really drives me, you know, not letting another guy get the best of me, getting the best of me. And that's what really drives me, really.
What's the biggest thing that you take away from game one that you have to work on for the Atlanta game on Thursday?
I just got to be more assertive, I believe, you know, in terms of blocking, setting my pads right, getting inside. It's little stuff like that, but, you know, it matters. You know, it's from breaking a run from a 8-yard gain to a 50-yard gain or a touchdown, you know. So, and, you know, running backside going to block, you know, what's different in practice than in a game is in practice you may have three plays and then, you know, another guy will come in and get a rep. But in the game, you're in, you know, until something happens or you're too tired or so. It's a little different, you know, and I feel like right now I'm getting in real very good shape, you know. So I feel like I'm at ultimate and, you know, at the all-time shape or getting in shape or whatever. But I don't know.
Do you feel like you have only scratched the surface so far in terms of the physicality that you can use when it comes to these smaller DBs and going for contested balls and things like that? Have you really kind of even gone there where you can go with that yet?
I think what makes, you know, this is what I think about Corey Coleman as well. You know, I think what makes a great player, and I don't know all the answers, and I mean, you guys may say it's BS, I don't know. But I think what makes a great player is like that focus in your eyes, that that lion, that heart of the lion. You got to have that. It gotta mean something to you. It gotta mean something to you to compete, you know. And that's what I like about Corey Coleman. You know, that guy got that guy got some dog in him, you know. And I think that's you play against other corners that's going to have the same thing, you know. That's you go against Joe Hayden. I went against him today. I mean, we were battling out there, you know. So it's just trying to, you know, sharpen your skills, you know, and try to be the best you can be every day and sharpen your tools and see where it goes.
That's Browns wide receiver Terrell Pryor. And I got to tell you, for a guy who's come as far as he has, it would be easy to see him be like, look, I just went out there, I made a play. The last game I played in, week 17 against Pittsburgh, I had a 40-yard catch. Like, that's basically his last two NFL games against other people. He's had a 40-plus-yard catch. That I'm there. And that sounds to, it sounds to me like a guy who's not even close to satisfied with where he's at and wants to continue to get better, which I think is an exciting thing. I really like his attitude right there.
No, for sure. And I think that, I mean, for Terrell Pryor, for all intents and purposes, if you and I were to give a, you know, realistic synopsis of what his 2016 as a Cleveland Brown at wide receiver would look like, I'll give you mine. Maybe 30 to 45 receptions, you know, maybe 80, you know, 70 targets. He's going to be a big play guy, so 700 yards. But I think in Terrell Pryor's mind, and this is where he's trying to get, he wants to supersede those numbers and be a 55 to 65, you know, reception guy,
sure,
you know, an 80 target guy, and 1,000 yards receiving. And I think that's what he's consistently in his mind shooting for. While we might knock all the struggles that it is for him to actually make it, in his mind, it's, I know I'm going to make it, but to be where I want to be in my head, I've got to knock off these little small goals to get to my big goal.
And I like, you talked about Corey Coleman. He's got that dog in him, which is what everybody really has said, yeah, about him, a tenacious competitor. And you're seeing that Terrell Pryor. And it was interesting. I talked with Eric Patterson, who had the interception on Friday night, and we're going to hear that in the second hour of the show. And I asked him if Terrell talks a lot of smack, because I was saying, you know, who are the big smack talkers? And he said he used to, and now that he's kind of not arrived but is making plays, he doesn't talk anymore. And I thought that was very interesting. Like, maybe he was almost talking to himself to get himself fired up, and that now he's like making plays, he's letting that do his talking for him, which I thought was kind of a very subtle thing,
exactly,
but a very interesting thing, and a peek kind of behind the curtain into the mind of Terrell Pryor. Now, Josh Gordon returning to practice, that's the huge news in Berea, and quotes are coming out. He's speaking with the media right now. We will have that for you as soon as possible in the second hour, but really what's coming out of it is his feeling about the vibe here in Hugh Jackson. He's like, people are close, the team is close. He can't even put his finger on it, but it's so different than what he's used to, and he's excited to be a part of it. And I'm excited to see him be a part of it starting today.
And this is his third head coach, so he knows other feelings, and this one is significantly different. I think that's a good thing, and something that you and I, without being in that locker room or being on that practice field every single day, have been saying for months now.
Yeah, and again, people say, well, same old stuff. You had the turnovers. Yeah, there were some sloppy things. That's part of football. But they're going to clean these up, and guys who continue to play sloppy won't be here.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, and I said it on Dog Pound Report, poll 32 head coaches right now. How satisfied on a scale of 1 to 10 are you with your team after preseason game number 1? All of them are going to have similar issues to what Hugh Jackson, as one of 32 coaches, is having.
Absolutely. And to me, when you think about what this team is about in 2016, and we keep talking about development, playing your best football late in the year, seeing young guys progress, getting those foundations, those building blocks that you can build this roster around, I think it speaks volumes, A, about the talent that was drafted by Sashi Brown and company, but also the coaching that these guys are getting, that the rookies looked almost unrookie-like in the first preseason game. And normally these guys come in and they still look like chickens with their heads cut off. But those rookies went out there and looked very good. And that's from guys that are getting early team reps like Ogba down to guys that are getting late team reps, undrafted free agents like our guy Tracy Howard and Dominique
right.
Alexander.
And I just think it's a testament to Hugh and the staff that he put together and the amount of work that they've done. That's 50% of it. And then I think Sashi drafting guys that can play now in the NFL, as not a lot of guys. I mean, I technically wasn't. You know, I ran down on kickoff like a chicken with my head cut off as a rookie, but didn't play a whole lot of defense as well. So that's 25% of it. And I think it's the players themselves. It's doing the work, getting in the playbook, doing the work, being healthy, eating the right things, putting in the work in the weight room to come out and be the player that Sashi thought I was and live up to that hype. And then 50% of it is have an open mind that I have not arrived yet. just by getting drafted in the NFL, and my mind is still open to take all that 50% that I said in coaching, to take it in and to not think I'm better than anybody else, and take it in, soak it up, and spit it back out and regurgitate it into your performance on a football field.
That's what it's all about, taking that information and then producing Matt Wilhelm, playing like a veteran.
A veteran.
A veteran. All right, we'll be back. Take your phone calls, and then at the top of the hour, Jim Donovan will be with us. We'll hear from Eric Patterson, another young man trying to make this football team at cornerback. Had the big interception on Friday night in Green Bay. And, of course, we're going to also hear from Josh Gordon returning to practice today. That's the big news in Berea. Zagurin Wilhelm, CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.